Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 3, day 4 of our study of Ephesians and Philippians. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast, I'd like to encourage you to leave a review on your podcast app of choice. It really helps other people find out about the 10-week Bible study, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God and with His Word. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God. Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I'm going to go back through this kind of line upon line because this is one of many in the New Testament, what people call apostolic prayers. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. And this is a beautiful prayer. And so I want to go back through this kind of line upon line and break some of this down because I think it's powerful. And most American Western Protestant Christians, not all, but most, are unfamiliar with historical prayers. They're unfamiliar with liturgical prayers. Throughout most of Christian history, Christians have had things like prayer books or common prayers. It's actually the Catholics, the Episcopals, the Lutherans, I believe the Presbyterians, most denominations, I believe the Methodists have it as well, most denominations that have had some history to them have books of common prayer. They're prayers that people would recite, prayers that people would read. And those kinds of things, they can get very rote and meaningless if you're just kind of reciting them, but you're not actually talking directly to God. You're not actually engaging with him. It's very easy to do that with any prayer. But many believers throughout history have found having these kinds of common prayers very helpful to engaging with the Lord, because very often it's not that we lack a desire to pray. It's that we don't ask. The Lord says, you know, hey, you don't have because you don't ask. And very often the not asking part is not because we don't want to ask. It's just we have trouble coming up with the words. And so when we have to come up with the words, it's such a small barrier to get over. But sometimes just having the words to get us started is what we need. And so sometimes having those liturgical prayers, I don't necessarily encourage just reciting them, you know, into thin air and feeling like you've done prayer, like you've done your business and then moving on. I don't encourage that. But I do encourage using common prayers and apostolic prayers from Scripture as a jumping off point, a launching point. Because very often it's getting in that mode, actually praying someone else's prayer that they've written, here Paul's or someone else's prayer in a book of common prayer, praying those prayers and getting started, launched down that path that opens us up to like, Lord, yes, I do want that. And I need this. And I want to follow you like this. And I want to fellowship with you like this. And it begins to just open us up to dialoguing with the Lord in a way that we wouldn't have if we didn't start down that path on a pre-written prayer like the one we're going to go through here. So let's jump back into this, starting in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We need the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We need it. We have to have it. So Paul is asking the Lord to give the Ephesians the power of the Holy Spirit in their inner man, their inner being. We're not talking about physical power. We're not talking about the strength to get through the day. We're not talking about the kind of energy that coffee gives you, as nice as that is. We're talking about the inner strength that comes from fellowshipping and communing with the Holy Spirit, from knowing that anointing and power that He gives us in our lives. And that power is to overcome sin, to say no to temptation, to walk in holiness before Him, to look out for other people, to see the hurting and the lost around us. Those are the things that the inner power that the Holy Spirit gives us, that's what it enables us to do. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We need Jesus inside us, giving us that faith. We have to have faith to come before the Lord, but we need an ever-increasing faith to walk deeper in Him, to walk deeper in our life in Jesus. And we actually need Jesus to give us the grace to supply that faith, that ever-increasing faith. But it's something that we have to have. We have to have it. We can't just live off of the faith that we had when we said yes to Jesus. We need an ever-increasing faith. There is no stagnation in the Lord because we have an adversary. We have an enemy that comes against us. And stagnation means that we are actually being actively pulled away from God. So there is only growth in our life, or there is backsliding in our life. There is no plateauing in our life in God. So we have to have an ever-increasing faith, and we need to ask the Lord for it. Verse 17 again. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Again, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to even comprehend, to even understand the love of Jesus. It's beyond our understanding. We can get so familiar with talking about the love of Jesus, with talking about what He's done for us, that we forget the mystery of it. We forget the fact that we were the created beings that rebelled against Him, and that God stepped down and took on human flesh forever and redeemed us to God while we were yet in sin. Those kinds of things are mysteries beyond our comprehension. We can say it. We can have the words come out of our mouths. But understanding it, comprehending the reality of that, that's another thing entirely. And when I really sit down and I think about that, I meditate on that, I realize just how far above my pay grade it is to understand that. It is beyond my comprehension. So I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the power of God inside of me to grasp that. And when I grasp that love, when I get revelation, when I get Holy Spirit revelation inside of me of how deep and wide and high that love is, it changes me. When I think about that and meditate on that, it changes how I treat other people. When I'm in conflict with someone, it changes how I treat them. Because all of a sudden, the conflicts that you get into and the power of that love, when we truly grasp it, we realize just how small the conflicts that we're in are. And that's not to belittle the conflicts that we get into. Sometimes those conflicts are very serious, and they have very serious consequences for our lives and for others' lives. It doesn't mean that those conflicts that we have to work through and fight through and grow through and love through, it doesn't mean that they're inconsequential. What it means is, in comparison to the love of Jesus, they are small. They are minuscule in comparison to His love. And then we get revelation of how to properly understand the conflicts that we are in and how to walk them out. Verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That knowing, having that knowledge, to understand the love that Paul is saying surpasses knowledge. He's saying, we need to pray that God would give us grace to understand something that's ununderstandable. We cannot comprehend this love, but we need to comprehend it. Fully understanding the depth of Jesus's love is something that is not humanly possible. That's what Paul's saying. And actually, so many people in Scripture, so many authors in the Bible have said this very same thing. God, your ways are so far above my ways. Understanding this love, this redemption, what you've done for us, it is not possible for me to understand. But I have to understand it. I need you to give me supernatural grace to understand this, Jesus. That is the prayer that we pray. And when we get a revelation of that love, again, it changes us. It changes us in ways that makes us look supernatural, because it's supernatural understanding to grasp a supernatural love and grace. And that changes us in supernatural ways. Christians throughout history have been able to do and endure and say and love in ways that no one else can understand. It shocks and befuddles them. And it's because we are a supernatural people, filled with a supernatural grace, able to love in supernatural ways in the midst of supernatural circumstances. That's who you and I are when we say yes to Jesus. And we have to pray these kinds of prayers to grow every day, week, month, and year in God's grace and love. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.